want to do something this morning. Can I teach you something? For years, I said, as I walked through life in school, and especially the last years of Baylor and teaching, and then wanting to complete a doctorate in exercise physiology, God said no. God said, I want you in seminary. I didn't want to go to seminary. I just be honest with you, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go to a place that would tamper, as I looked at it, with my faith. Tamper with what I believed, tamper with what I thought, things like that. But I learned very quickly when I surrendered that part to God that he had something far greater in store for me than just my dreams and my plans. And I learned something, I learned a lot of things, but I learned something. I had the blessing of being, as many of you know, I went to Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Across the city was Reformed Theological Seminary. I got the best of both worlds. I was taught things from different perspectives. And you get that because you get, unfortunately, in some regards, I'm sure that you have to listen to me. But I want to talk to you this morning about something that I think is very important. It's called theology. Now, theology, if you do not know that, is theos, meaning God, and then ology, meaning from the logos, meaning the word. I want to talk about a theology which glorifies God, comes straight out of his word, but it's on a subject that many people shy away from. Preachers stay away from it all the time. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to live it. I want to talk to you about the theology of giving this morning. You say, oh, dear. Can I say something? I look through things. This has been on my desk for about 3 months now. The last time you heard me ever talk about any of this was 6 years ago. Long time. Long time. Many of you were not even here. Maybe you hadn't even part of that day. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, that's my text for you this morning. And it puts Paul saying this to the church. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. And get the last part. As God hath prospered him. Amen. As God has prospered him. Now, I know preachers' reputations. I really do. I'm not unaware about what people think about preachers and about what they say and what they do. They're always asking for money. I understand. In fact, I knew one man that spoke to his preacher, and he made the statement. He said, "Preacher, when you die, I want to preach your funeral." In fact, I've already picked a text. It comes right out of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 16, at verse 22, and it says this, "And it came to pass that the beggar died." Okay, that's a good one. Yeah, no, that's a little out of place, but that's okay. You know, you kick the bucket. Okay, won't be begging me anymore for anything. I'm not begging you for anything. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not doing any of those things. I'm simply saying to you, the Word of God says this. And we need to pay attention to the Word of God. We listen to the Word of God about a lot of things. But when it comes down to giving, sometimes we just need to be reminded. Take me 6 years to do it. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful that I don't spend the time. We are blessed to have those that sit on a committee and that run things of our church to keep us in the black, to keep us doing things, to keep things happening, to do the things that glorify. What are they done for? They're for your convenience. Are they not done for the beautification of things that you enjoy at this church? I think that they are. So it's been more about what we have done for ourselves than maybe what we have done for God. And so this morning, I want to spend a little time. But I have to tell you this. In the past, I have preached to these, or I've spoken to them. I don't know if I preach at them about it. But I've spoken to the older, more established people of our church. They're the ones that have established themselves in this world, and they have means by which to do something. And you know, and I'm blessed. Some believed, yeah. Some griped. And then some respectfully were absolutely, positively bored. They didn't want to hear anything I had to say. But I'm not doing that today. Today, I am turning really to the younger. Oh, Jim, are you saying this morning? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. If you only knew what God says to me, it would just simply amaze. I'm turning away from the old. I'm turning away from the prejudice. I'm turning away from the unimpressed when it comes down to the Word of God. And I'm turning to the younger and the more tender. Now, people, I'm going to tell you this right now. You say, well, you can't be talking to me. I'm talking to you. If you are younger and tender in your spirit and your attitude, then I'm talking to you this morning. Now, if you fall in that other part about it, well, then there you are. You'll have to answer to God about that kind of stuff. I'm talking to those that have an open convictions, and they see the responsibility of stewardship. I don't know anybody that would give money to a place that didn't trust. I don't know anybody that would give their time, their influence to some place that they did not believe in. And I would not want you to give one absolutely stingy penny, whatever, to a place, to a church, naming Cornerstone, if you didn't believe in the ministry of this church. I'm not asking for any of that kind of stuff. But what I am saying to you today, there is a theology. It is about God. It is about His Word. It is about what He makes the statement. And I want to make it very clear to you this morning. There are some things that you need and I need to come to agreement on before I can even go on with this message. One of those things is about truth. I can promise you this. There is no new truth. There's only revealed truth. That's a fact. But God has to take every one of us in large our capabilities. He has to enlarge our spiritual capacities. There's no way you can ascertain anything that I'm going to talk about this morning unless you can understand what the Word of God is saying about it. It's not about what a man says about it. Now, Matt, it doesn't make a difference what I think about it. It makes every difference about what does God have to say. Somewhere down the line, it's got to come out of here and come to here. It's got to get out of your head. It's got to get into your heart for the truth to be real to you, as it is to me, as it is to so many. But that's the Holy Spirit's job, and I'm glad it's His job. I just soon hit you in the head. Hey, that's what happened to me. But the Holy Spirit takes objective truth and makes it reality. That's what He does. And so this morning, I want to need to establish some truth with you first. Okay, the first truth. This is the first truth. Now, I want you to listen to these things. You say, well, he's going to go on. Yeah, I may go on a little bit. The first truth is this. God owns everything. Everything. You may think you got something going for yourself. You don't have anything. God owns everything. He is. Look at the beginning of the world. In the beginning, what? What took place in the beginning? God created the heavens and the earth. What? Who was it? It was God. My friends, God is the maker, He's the owner, and He is the giver of everything that we have. You have nothing in this world. I have nothing. Everything that I call mine, and I put my little brand on, and I say that, what is it? It's His. Every bit of it. There's nothing there. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 says, the earth is mine. That's God. It's not you. It's not me. It's not anybody. It's not the government. It's not none of those people. It's right there. Haggai, he would write to us. He says, the silver and the gold, well, they're mine. This is who God is. It all belongs to Him. Every believer has to settle that in his heart. If you truly believe in what God wants to do, then everything, it comes down to, it all belongs to the Lord. All these things belong to the Lord. For God so loved the world, what did He do? He gave. What did He give? His only begotten. He gave us salvation. He gave us everything that we have. And we are absolutely blessed by it. So that's just the first one. This is God's economy. This is how he did it. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. That's what God did. That's just the first truth. Now the second truth, it comes in two parts. So you're going to have to hang on to think about this. The second truth is God is able. Oh, he is? You trust your salvation to him, don't you? My friends, God is able. Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 3 at verse number 20, says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." God is able. But it's the second part to that. Not only is God able to do that, God owns my life. I know that's, well, that's kind of like the first one, but it's even more personal. God owns my life. That means God owns your life. I don't know if we recognize that all the time. I think we have stuff that we do and everything's great, and when it doesn't go quite the way we think it ought to go, who are we going to blame? Well, we always want to point out, well, God, you don't love us. You don't care about us. Can I tell you this? God loves us, and God cares about us. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, God owns me. He owns every one of us. And that's the beauty of who God is, because he's perfect. What? You don't know that? I think every believer should know that, that God owns everything. Peter would write to us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "We have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ." Paul would give us to in chapter 8 of Romans, and we love chapter 8 of Romans because all things work together for good. But he made the statement, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Where's your frustration level today? What's your anxiety level today? How are we going to make it in this economy? What are we going to do about this? How are we going to meet their needs? Can you imagine these little children that receive those boxes we just talked about? You're worried about what's going to happen in your life, and they're thrilled about a box? Because what? They have nothing. Absolutely nothing. But we have everything. We begin, well, I don't have it. I'm poor and I'm going to go. Look at your frustration level. Look at your anxiety. Are you questioning whether the Father cares about you? Whether he loves you or not? If you are, then we need to really get back on this thing. When Jesus spoke on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's Gospel, the sixth chapter, he makes statements, verses 25 through verse 24 to 34. But in verse 24, he starts it all out. He starts it all out with this. He calls it the sin of unbelief. He makes a statement. You cannot serve God and mammon. You got to make a choice. If money's your God, or what you got is your God, well, then you better serve that. He says you cannot serve both. It will not happen. And this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is what he said. He said, verse 25, he says, "Oh, take no thought for your life. What are you worried about? What are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? What's going to take place?" God's already thought about that. Look at verse 28. He says, "Consider the lilies of the field." Look at the beauty of God's creation. He gave us all of these things. He says Solomon didn't have that. And he was the greatest and the most rich in everything else that he had. But not the lily. The lily is far beautiful than what Solomon could even talk about. But then he commanded us in verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things shall be added unto you." Every bit, everything that we have. Man, I recognize every day I'm inadequate. I am definitely inadequate, but he's my adequacy all the time. I'm incapable, but he's my incapability. He is all those things. He makes me capability every time. He is my guarantee that who is my owner? He is. That's who God is. I have to establish those things with you. I think that's important. If you cannot get a grip on this, then we'll have a real difficult time ever getting to the theology of giving. And we must understand it. And I think I've seen all these heads going, yes, yes, yes. But is it up here, yes, yes, yes? Or is it in here, yes, yes, yes? This is what counts right here. Paul would write in Philippians chapter 4. We talk about this all the time. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Remember that passage? You ever broke that thing down? My God. This is my God. That's my personal privilege. He's my God. He shall supply. What does he say? It's his promise. His promise to me is that he provides the provisions. He provides the resource. He is the one that gives everything. And he didn't stop there. All your need according to his riches in glory. Who owns it all? Well, you know, we're going to talk about heaven. We're going to watch streets of gold, gates of pearl, and all that good stuff. My friends, that is the potential that God says, I'm working from. I own it all. There's nothing in this world that I do not own. I got it. What did we see when we were kids? The cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mind, all the diamonds, the gold, all that kind of stuff. God, it is God. Do you believe these truths? Do you really, truly believe that God owns everything? Do you believe that God cares about you? Do you simply believe that he owns you personally? Now, friends, if you can believe that, then we have a basis to start the theology of giving. But you got to believe that. Because these are the things that are important. The theology of giving is something like this. It begins with stewardship. And I said it. Nobody's going to give anything to anybody. Shouldn't, if unless you're an idiot. That you're going to give to something you don't believe in. Yeah, really. Stewardship. God has given us something here in our church. And we base it on Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 18 says, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. He's given that to every one of you. You say, well, I just don't have much. You have something, don't you? I guarantee you one thing, looking around, and I look at myself when I look in the mirror, I haven't missed a meal recently. My utility bills are so high. Well, did you pay it? Somehow you did, didn't you? Somehow we make these things work even in an economy that's not as good as it used to be. And I know some people can see God molding worlds. They can see God going through the heavens with a comet in his hand, getting ready to cast that comet out for all of us to see, all the great things. But they cannot see that God owns everything. Do you ever stop to think that great business ideas, where do they come from? They come from God. That's what God does. He puts that in the hearts and the minds of people. Do you not think that God has a plan to enrich our lives? Did you come up with that yourself? Henry Ford. I'm not a Ford fan, as anybody knows. I still love you. Even if you drive a Ford, it's okay. You'll learn one day. Henry Ford, what did he create? An assembly line. Was there ever an assembly line before that? No. But he created that. He said, do you think he came to that all by himself? God put something in his mind that says, we could do this better. But what have we done with God? We like to lock God up in the church. We're going to go meet with God. Lord, as we come into your presence. Well, where have you been? We're always in God's presence. But we like to lock him up in the church. Any of you guys got a Bible that's got a rose petal in it? No? If you got my grandma's Bible, she had a rose petal in the Bible, smashed. It was always there. It was precious, along with all the dust that collected on it. What are we doing with God? We want to lock him up in the Bible. We want to lock him up in the church house. We want to relegate him to a position of irrelevance. That's what we want to do with him. And we want to think that God is not interested in what takes place in his church. Could you believe that God is in charge of that if money fell like the rain we just got? Or could you believe that money grows on trees? How many times I have to hear that as a kid? How many times have I told my kids that thing? And how many times are my kids going to tell their kids that? Money does not grow on trees. And what do? We act like it does, and we still give it away. We still give it to them quiet because we love them. We may be idiots and spoil them too much, but we still love them. We love them enough to provide to meet their needs. Now, that may not be something that is reality, and we know it's not because money doesn't fall from heaven like that. But we have to concede those kind of things. We have to concede it to God. You know what God said it was? It's a dirty word. I hate to even mention it. It's called work. Yeah, it's a terrible thing. Now, I know that you didn't get that warm, fuzzy feeling from that. You probably didn't experience that divine rush of God's presence right there when I used that particular word. You can't see God's divine touch in that right there. But what can you see then? Can everything that you talk about, what you can see, does it have to be a Jackson or a Grant or a Franklin? You don't know what a Franklin is? That's a Franklin. No, it's not. What is that? Well, come on, people. Some of you are close enough to read it from there. It's a Federal Reserve note. Whose picture? God, I've seen that guy before. What did he do? He ran electric out there. He ran a light. Benjamin Franklin. Is that who that is on there? Steve, that's yours. We're gonna start on our 10 boxes right now. What am I saying that for? I'm saying it for these are truths that we need to remember who God is. We need to remember what God does. We are commanded to do those things. Thou shalt remember. There's an ever-present star that led those magi to a manger scene. There was always a cloud. There was always a fire. The cloud by day, the fire by night that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. God has always been present. He is my absolute proprietor of everything that exists. And what do we get? We get to hold that treasure. But my friends, it's only on loan. Yeah, it's just on loan. Because when you kick the bucket, I promise you somebody else is going to own it. And it's only on loan to them. It's only something that God allows. It's called stewardship. It's called this is what God has given. J.D. Rockefeller, one of the richest men that ever lived, told a man one time when he came to ask, he said, I'll never ask you again for anything. He said, look, if you tell me something that I can do with my money that's great, then I want to do that. Don't you ever apologize for that. Don't you ever back up that. I'm telling you this morning that God says there is something that we can do. I love what Paul would write in 1 Corinthians in the 4th chapter. He says, what hast thou that thou hast not received? Anything? The air you breathe? The sunshine? Anybody here physically build the church? I mean, physically. You worked on it. One out of how many? Well, I'm talking about today. Here. No. You see, we're being blessed by something somebody else did. You know that there'll be a day that we'll build schools, you'll give money to this, you'll never attend? You ever think about that? But somebody will. All the blessings that we have the privilege of being part of, we may never ever take part of that to ourselves, but somebody will. Somebody will be blessed by that. I got a picture from my brother. He was home in Indiana, and he was showing us a picture of where he and I spent a lot of time on a baseball field. And he took a picture of it. All it reminded me of was somebody sacrificed a lot way back 55 years ago for me to enjoy what I did that got me here. You see, giving is a sacred thing, but it comes with stewardship. That's God's grace. That's what he does. You could not move a muscle. You couldn't turn a wrench. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't get this part going for you if it were not for God. If it were not God's grace, his mercy that flows from heaven, every day that I have to stop and think about it. Now, and I know, look, people, you haven't heard this. It's been 6 years. So you can go back and you can rest for the next 6 years before I say it again. How about that? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be a great thing? But I don't have to worry about that. I may not be here in 6 years, but the Holy Spirit will be here. And the message that he has given is called stewardship. And the stewardship that we are to have. He said, come every Sunday, you that have laid in store, you put it aside. Now you can come snarling, you can come griping about it. You can throw a 20 at God and say, I've done my part. But I can tell you this, oh, what a sacrifice. What is God saying to us? What will the Holy Spirit say after, as we run after every dollar that we think we can come up to? God's given you the ability to work. And God has provided a lot of work. If you want it, there's plenty of it. I can promise you that. It's all everywhere you can turn. But have we spent the time to do something meaningful for God and not for ourselves? Have we spent time to give to God's work in such a way that would glorify him and him alone? See, that's why we're doing what we do every Sunday. It is meant to be a glorification of him, not a glorification of us. And we should be remembered of that. We should be grateful. We should be grateful that God gave us this ability to be right here. It's God who gave us the ability to get wealth. That is the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Write it down, look it up, do whatever you need to do with it, but that's what he said. And that's his promise to us right there. So I'm talking to you that have young and tender hearts that still believe that God is in charge, that he has established all these things. And for those that are younger, that are getting out into the workforce right now, this ought to lift your view of what work really is. You ought to see it as something that is exciting, something that God has given you that it can be great, because God puts you there and you're going to do everything as unto the Lord. And when you go to work like that, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if it's a dirty, nasty job. Okay. But I am bound to remember my God. And I am bound every single day to thank him that he's given me enough strength to do it. That's called stewardship. The second thing, and this is the practical side. You know, you say, well, I thought that was practical. I think it's really practical, but I want to give you something that's very practical. My text. What was the text? We had the text set up there before you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered. Has he prospered you? I mean, really? Has he prospered you? Obviously, he's prospered somebody. Somebody's got a blessing out of all these things. Paul mentions a time and a measure. I will never, ever talk to you about tithing. Do I believe in it? Yeah, I believe in it. Do I believe what God said to do about it? Yeah, I do. But I like what, since so many don't believe, that New Testament Christians, they don't want to have any part of the Old Testament. They think the Old Testament is made for the Jews and that's all. But here Paul says God selected day. And what day was that? He said it was the Sabbath day. What Sabbath day? The Christian Sabbath day. This is God's gift that he gave to each one of us. It's called power. It's the Sabbath day. It is now a day of remembrance. Well, how much? How much you want, preacher? I'm not wanting anything. I want what God wants. I want him to bless you because he's prospered you. That's what I want. As much as God has prospered you. That's what God says to give. You know, if you look in the New Testament, there's really no word about a tenth, about a fifth, or about a twentieth. There's nothing in the New Testament about that. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. That's not there. In fact, the whole New Testament arithmetic is purely moral. You call yourself moral people? I'm telling you, that's the New Testament. That's what he says about giving. That's what it is. We are at liberty, if you want to today. You can go back into the Old Testament. You can study all these things. You can see what grateful men of God gave back there, back with Abraham. You can go back all the way back. You know that was before the law, that Abraham did these things? Abraham said, I'm going to give a tenth. Who's he going to give a tenth to? He's going to give it to God's place. But there's a spiritual law in the New Testament. And that spiritual law said, as God has prospered him. That's the New Testament. That is the spiritual law. God's given us a productive week. Well, we're going to have a good offering. That's what, the way I see it. It's, when it's a real good week, we have an unusually liberal offering. When it's a moderate time, well, we have a moderate offering. When it's a poor week, we didn't prosper anything. Well, no gains, no dedication in some people's book. How many of you get paid every week? Do you get paid Fridays? You get paid on a Friday, okay? How many do you get paid maybe every other week? Two, okay. Some people only get paid when? Maybe once a month. Some of us finish a job and we get paid, all right? But can I ask you this? You said, well, I can't give money. I can't give money every week. Why not? Do you eat every week? Do you make provision every week? Do you make your 2 week salary, your 1 month salary, work out through the whole time? Come on, people. Hello. I know you do. We all do. We make provision as God has provided for us. Do we not? Now, you're blessed here. I'm blessed. I'm absolutely blessed. Do you know something? I have no clue what you give. I have no clue. Don't want to know. No one's ever going to say this preacher was in the money. Now, you can accuse me of a lot of things. I'm brash. Yes, I know that. I'm humble, of course. Okay, no, that wasn't one of them. Okay. I had a whole list of great things I might have done, but that's not one of them. I can tell you things, but I can't tell you anything about who gives what, because I don't want to know. That's God's business. That's his spiritual law. That's what God does, not what Jim does. That's nobody's business but his. And that's why I believe all these details are left to an individual conscience. You will answer only to God. And so if I set some minimum amount like 10% up there for you, that's all I'd ever receive would be 10%. And God said, as he has prospered you. I really think for some people, you're robbing God if you only gave 10%. But, hey, that's God. Why? Because it's a service of love. You're not giving it to me. Oh, I'm blessed to have a salary. Yeah, I really am. But I say this, it's a service of love. It's gratitude. It's a memorial. It's a remembrance that he has given. Because this is who God is. You can argue with me, that's fine. You can disagree with me. I've been disagreed with many times. But I can tell you this, from the New Testament standpoint, I'm never going to tell you only give 10%. I think that was the minimum that God ever laid out before us, and I think it's something. I think if you lived up to what the New Testament says, you do what Paul instructed us to do, as he has prospered you, as he has done this in your life. It is quiet in here. Man, somebody turn on the air. Because this is difficult for so many. Because we trust in what we have. We trust in our money. And I'm telling you, you can't trust in your money. You don't own it. And at any moment, it can be taken away. I've got a lot to say this morning. None of us wants to get by on the minimum. God doesn't need it either. But what it says to me is that, do you have the ability to trust God? It comes to that simple thing right there. Do we have the ability? This is practical. Do you have the ability to trust God? You own a business? Many of us do. What do we trust? We trust that God gives us the amount of people to come in that we can go to work. Yeah. Sometimes we're overrun with it. Sometimes we're backlogged with it. But isn't that God's blessing? I just can't ever catch up. Well, praise God, you can't catch up. That's God's blessing in us. When are we going to get to the point that we say, we've been blessed, I want to bless God with what he has done? When will we ever find that time? I got a lot more to say, a whole bunch more to say, but I want to end it with this. I really do. Don't ever believe a preacher when he says this is the last thing he's going to say. Because he's never going to say that's not going to be the last thing. I know this for a fact. God Almighty is concerned about your life. You may be having it tough right now. There may be some things going on that you don't like. Maybe it's not like everybody else has. But I promise you, if you have a heart of dedication to him, God always honors that right there. You know what the writer of Proverbs said? You know what Solomon said in chapter 3? He said, honor the Lord thy God with thy substance. And what's going to happen to you? He goes on in the verse 10. He says, so shall thy barns be full. So you'll have abundance because God promised it. Does God bless only spiritually? He does, but he blesses financially too. He provides for us. Deuteronomy 28, the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses. Man, there's a cause and effect here, people. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you give abundantly, God will bless it. You cannot give away more that God doesn't keep giving it. But he has to trust you to do it. You say, well, I'm broken in this matter right here. Well, you need to get right with God then. Yeah. That's just what the word says. What did he tell us? Take heed that you don't do your alms before men. It's not any business what you give or what you don't give. That's God's business. But I promise you this, God looks upon it. So I'm coming down to the last thing. What is your motive? What is your motive for giving anything or not giving it? If you're giving it out of a heart of love to God, I promise you will be absolutely blessed. If you're doing it for show, we'll punt. Yeah, you're getting your reward right now. But God said, I have laid up this forever. It's the love of Christ that constraineth me. That's what Paul said to us. And he doesn't quit right there. He says on in the 8th chapter, he says, ye know that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what gives me the hope to do what I do. And I cannot pass up what Jesus said in the 10th chapter of Matthew's gospel. All you got to do is give a cup of cold water in my name and people will be blessed. Theology of giving to God by his word what he asks for. That's what we should do. We should do these things because we love him And we remember what the Lord has asked us to do. And we remember every time where we go someplace, do something, that God provided it. You cry about how much you spent at McDonald's or Wally World or wherever else you might go get a sandwich here in a little bit or whatever you're going to do. Who gave it to you? Who provided it? It was God. It was absolutely God. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. Let's pray.